Kind Father, we love you so much, and Lord, we give you this day. We thank you, Lord, that we've got beautiful weather and an opportunity to serve, and so Lord, I just pray that you would utilize this opportunity through us, to that we don't have to make a big elaborate splash. We don't have to be confrontational or anything like that. All we got to do is just love through service. Just love people by meeting practical needs. And so, Lord, I just pray that our service, our kindness, would speak volumes to this community. And it would just put, just plant this seed in people's hearts that they wonder, man, what's going on there? What is it that they have that I don't have? And that it might begin a journey of where they begin to ask questions and ultimately find you and give their lives to you. Lord, as we study your word, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak through your word, and that we would hear this clear message you have for us this morning. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So our family has been here at Summit Church for almost 15 years now, which is fantastic. But I got to tell you, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it. I wasn't trying to get you to clap. I mean, but that's very kind. But when Amber and I were first married, for our first, 10 years of marriage, we packed up everything and moved 9 times in those first 10 years of marriage, and which is a lot, because moving is not really a lot of fun. But the nice thing about moving is that it forces you to go through all your stuff and ask the question, do we really need this? Do we use this? I mean, should we keep this or should we just get rid of it? And the problem with being in one place for a long time is that you just start to accumulate a lot of stuff. So, for example, a couple months ago, we were going through our items in our kitchen, and we got into this cabinet, and I realized this one particular kitchen cabinet was just filled with stuff we never use. So, for example, it had a fondue pot, which fondue is fun. I mean, it's always fun, but I mean, come on. It's like I could just sit down and eat a steak, or I could have one bite of steak every 3 minutes. It's like, why? Why do we do this? And then I was also going through it. I'm like, babe, we haven't used this thing in like a decade. Do we really need a fondue pot? And the other thing I came upon was this right here. Does anyone know what this is? It's a crepe maker. Ding, ding, ding. And so I pulled down the crepe maker, which I'm pretty sure we got this for our wedding. And I was like, okay, babe, let's be real. We probably also haven't used this in about 10 years. Are we ever really going to use this? I mean, is this something we need? And Amber agreed, yeah, we probably should just go ahead and get rid of it. And that's when our youngest child chimed in from the other room, what's a crepe? And I said, you remember when we were out in Philadelphia, we went to the market, and they had those thin little pancake things covered in Nutella, wrapped up in strawberries? That's a crepe. And he's like, that's a crepe? I love crepes. We got to make crepes like right now. I'm like, why did I say anything? So imagine with me, this is a goofy illustration, but just go with it. Summit Church, what if our church was kind of like a kitchen gadget in God's household? Would we kind of be like the toaster? Indispensable, essential, used so much, it is waiting right there on the kitchen counter because it is useful every single day? Or would we be more like the novelty shopping network s'mores maker that grandma gave you for Christmas, you know, 12 years ago, and it's just been gathering dust up on the top shelf? Well, to answer that question, let's get into our scripture passage for today, which is going to be in Revelation chapter 3. If you want to turn there, go ahead, Revelation chapter 3. Now, I was originally going to take a break from our summer teaching series for Serve the City Sunday, but then a week ago, it dawned on me that the next chapter would fit in rather well with this theme of loving our community through service. So if you were with us last Sunday, we were talking about the letter written to Ephesus, which was the first of seven letters written to, the first of the seven churches that this book was written to. So today we're going to jump ahead and look at the last of the seven churches. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, "These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation." Okay, Laodicea was this wealthy and influential city in this Roman province. They were the banking center of the region. So they were kind of like a first century version of Wall Street. They exported rare wool and this special eye ointment. They were prosperous, this kind of high society community. Now, I'm going to kind of take things out of order, so let's jump ahead to verse 17. Jesus says to this church in Laodicea, "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. I don't need anything. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put in your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." Friends, here's the thing that should bother us. Of all the seven churches mentioned here in these couple chapters, this one is the one that looks the most like 21st century America. They were a huge success in the ancient world. They had disposable income and material wealth, big houses. They had influence and upward mobility. But think about this with me. When we consider the greatest threat to the church, what is the greatest threat to the church? We tend to think of something like atheism. You know, this intellectual, philosophical attack on our faith. Or maybe we think of things like persecution, an evil institution oppressing the people of God. But turns out, according to Revelation 3, the much greater threat is affluence and independence. Affluence and independence. Remember what the church said back in verse 17. They said, "We do not need a thing. I'm good. I've got it all covered. I got money in the bank. I got food on the table. I got a good doctor. I don't need anything." And I wonder, church, is this us? Is this our culture? Friends, let us ask ourselves, are we aware of our deep need for God? Are we aware of our deep need for God? In our modern culture of comfort and convenience, man, we will spend hours a day distracted by our smartphones, focused on our games and our shows and our entertainment, doom scrolling into oblivion. We've enjoyed so much provision in our society, we throw away good food to make room in the refrigerator. With all the amazing advancements in science and medicine, with the speed of airline travel and fast food and broadband internet, our affluence and our independence serve almost as a spiritual anesthetic, numbing the soul so that we are unable to recognize our desperate need for our Creator. We need forgiveness. We need hope. We need purpose. We need unconditional love. And sadly, for so many of us in our culture, it takes a dramatic crisis or a tragedy or maybe a fatal health diagnosis to finally arouse us out of our spiritual slumber and realize the truth. The truth the Laodiceans needed to hear. You are so self-reliant that you are, but you think you can take care of anything. You don't need anything, but actually you are spiritually poor, spiritually blind, spiritually naked. You are frail and finite and broken. You need a savior. In Matthew chapter 18, when Jesus says that we should have faith like a child, he is not saying you should be gullible or you should, you know, just fall for anything or something like that. No, what he's saying is you need to learn how to trust. You need to learn how to fully rely on your kind heavenly Father. Because that's the thing about children, if, especially in the first couple years, if you've never noticed, they can't do anything. Man, they can't feed themselves, they can't clothe themselves, they can't clean themselves. You look in the bassinet and you're like, come on, man, get a job. What are you doing? Carry your weight around here. But they can't do anything. Here it is. They are utterly dependent on their parents. You see, as we grow and mature physically, every year we learn to become more and more independent. But as we grow spiritually, the opposite should be true. We must learn to become more and more dependent on our kind Heavenly Father. Okay, let's back up in this letter to the Laodiceans. We're going to go to that part that we skipped over, verse 15. Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus says this. He says, I know your deeds. I see how you live. That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Literally in the original Greek, he's saying, you make me sick to the stomach. I want to vomit. Now, last Sunday, we studied the letter to Ephesus, and we addressed the problem of apathy. Apathy is a real problem. But you know, in my high school and college years, I must have heard a dozen sermons on this very passage right here. And so many times I heard preachers talk about this, and they're like, oh man, God doesn't, you know, God wants you to be either hot or cold. He doesn't want you to be lukewarm. He wants you to, you know, either love him or hate him, and he would rather you hate him than be lukewarm. And I remember sitting, listening to these preachers, and I thought to myself, really? Does that make any sense? God would rather we hate him? Turns out, history matters. Geography matters. You see right here, the city of Laodicea was just a couple miles from two other cities. Up to the north was the city of Hierapolis, and just to the southeast was the city of Colossae. Hierapolis was famous in the ancient world for its natural geothermal hot springs. And it was like a popular tourist attraction, kind of like Thermopolis or Steamboat or places like that. And people would travel from hundreds of miles away to soak in the rejuvenating hot mineral water. On the other side was Colossae, which sat at the foot of Mount Cadmus, which was the highest point in the region. Kind of looks a little like Buffalo, doesn't it? And this region was famous for its fresh, cold, ice mountain water. But Laodicea, they did not have a good water source. They didn't have a well there, so they actually had to pump up water into the city, and so they kind of got the runoff. And what would happen is the hot mineral water from Hierapolis would collide with the cold mountain water from Colossae, and by the time it got pumped into Laodicea, it was this chalky, lukewarm liquid that to the taste was just disgusting. In fact, you can see here the pipes. These are actually pipes from Laodicea. You can see the mineral deposit just building up on the pipes they had there in that community. The water situation was so bad, the city was eventually abandoned. Here's the point. Hot water is useful. It relaxes us on a winter day. It is good for stiff joints and blood flow and healing damaged tissue. Hot water serves a purpose. So also cold water is useful. Ice cold water refreshes us on a hot summer day. It reduces swelling and inflammation. Cold water serves a purpose. But lukewarm water is honestly kind of pointless. I mean, think about it this way. Whenever you go out to a restaurant, if you order tea, you're either asking for hot tea or iced tea. No one says to the waitress, excuse me, do you have any lukewarm tea? You know, kind of like tepid bathwater tea. You got any of that back there? So, church, here is the question at the heart of Jesus' criticism of the church of Laodicea. The question that he wants them wrestling with, and I think we should wrestle with as well. Am I useful for the kingdom? Am I useful for the kingdom? Just yesterday in membership class, we were talking about what Scripture says about the body of Christ. How every follower of Jesus is a part of the body. And like all the parts of the body, the eyes, the ears, the lungs, the liver, they all have a role to play. And when the body works together, that's when we can accomplish the mission God has for us. Church, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We are the means he uses to accomplish his will on this earth. He spreads the good news of the gospel through his church. He comforts the grieving and cares for the hurting through his church. He demonstrates his grace and his goodness and his forgiveness and his generosity through his church. But we have to slow down and ask ourselves the uncomfortable question, am I kind of lukewarm water? Kind of good for nothing? Or are we useful for bringing his great and glorious kingdom into this dark and broken world? The Apostle Paul put it like this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He says, in a large house, there are articles or utensils, not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some are for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, if we rid ourselves of sin and selfishness, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, get this, useful to the master. Useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. There you go. I didn't come up with the goofy metaphor. The Apostle Paul did. In God's kitchen, am I the toaster or am I the crepe maker? Am I useful? Am I available? Am I right there prepared to make a difference for the kingdom of God? Am I using my time, my resources, my effort and energy in ways that make an impact in our generation? But church, don't just stop there with that question, am I useful? Not only should we ask that question, we should also follow it up with this one. Am I available for my Savior? Am I available? Because you see, it's no good being useful if we don't allow ourselves to be open and available when God calls us to serve. Being available means that we go on record with God. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. Whatever you want, however you want to use me, here I am. Send me. I'm ready to serve. I am looking and waiting for an opportunity to serve others, to love others, to share with others the hope of Jesus Christ. Now, I know, you don't have to tell me, I already know, there are so many of us in this room today, and we hear a message like this, and we think, oh, pastor, oh, that sounds good for other people, but me, I'm just not that useful. Mm-hmm. On a day like this, Serve the City Sunday, I think, man, I'm not a good carpenter like that guy. I can't sing like she can. You know, I'm not a good cook. I'm a terrible mechanic. I'm not good at public speaking. How in the world is God going to use someone like me for his kingdom? Well, I love what Bob Goff says. He says, God often uses the least qualified but most available people to get things done. The least qualified but most available to get things done. In some ways, read the Bible for yourself. In some ways, the Bible is kind of like one long story over thousands of years of God using people that aren't all that qualified. They just made themselves available to him. Moses was slow of speech and slow of tongue. David was the shortest, least king-looking son amongst all his brothers. Jeremiah thought himself too young. Peter was this uneducated fisherman who had a habit of jumping in first and thinking second. But none of that mattered when it came to this question of, am I useful to the master? All that mattered is, have I made myself available? And friends, this is what Serve the City Sunday is all about. It is our chance to practice together as a church. Am I making myself useful and available? Let's practice being useful and available. But also, Summit Church, may we not limit ourselves to one Sunday a year when we're ready to jump in and love others through service. May our hearts be hungry. May our eyes be searching. May our spirits be open. May our bodies be poised. May we be a vessel filled with His grace and His goodness and His hope, the love of Jesus Christ, to bring His kingdom here on earth, to demonstrate God's great love through simple acts of service. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, sometimes we just make it too complicated. Lord, we are good at making excuses and we're good at saying, well, what can I do? What do I have to offer? But Lord, I just pray that we would just make ourselves useful and available. Some of the simplest things are so useful. A fork, a spoon, so useful. And so, Lord, I just pray that we would surrender ourselves, and I pray that today and every day, you would use us in our lives and our effort and our energy and our generosity and everything, that we would just make ourselves living sacrifices in order to make an impact for your kingdom in our generation. We love you, and we just give this day to you, and we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people agreed together and said, Amen. Amen.